Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast, sponsored by Her Film Project, an organisation to help people who are seldom heard of make films. Why not check them out at Her Film Project, herfilmproject.com. Thanks for sponsoring us. Right then, before we start, this is the penultimate podcast, second to last, if you don't know what that means. If you don't know what that means, you want to stop listening now because this is a very highly intellectual podcast. Thank you to all our listeners who have listened over the years. Apologies. A special thank you for those people who have donated to help us keep going. Feel free to donate £1 million to say thank you for the backlog of work. That will really be good. Do not be upset though, because we are going to continue with other podcasts. Why not tune in to Marek Makes a Movie, my new podcast where I talk to filmmakers and try and get people to donate so I can make my own film. I mean, I'll be honest, it's not really attracting a lot of donators, so just make sure you do that. David Reed will be doing Inside the Comedian. Danielle Ward, the old host, is going to do the right thing still. And you'll be pleased to hear that the three of us will be recording the final podcast together and reminiscing about the wild and crazy times we had sitting in a room talking. But for the second to last one, what better guest to get in than probably the person with the fourth most appearances on Film Fandango? You've guessed it, fans, it's Simon Fielder.
Hooray! I thought I was going to be the second most, but then that was counting David and Danielle.
Yeah, in the Marek era, which is probably the third era of this podcast, the first era being the Absolute Radio with David and Danielle, and then it became the Marek and David era, which was the bulk of the show, and then now it's moved on to just the Marek era, and then, I mean, that then it just died.
And after that, it's just, that's the end.
The abyss.
The end of it, yeah. Great, I mean, I'm glad I made it. Didn't quite make it onto the podium, but I'm standing next to the podium with my Time Out Film Guide 1999. Do you remember those? Massive, like, doorstep books.
You go through and tick which ones you've seen.
That was just good. It was like a sort of reference manual, wasn't it? It was like before we could just look at IMDb on our phones, you'd be like, oh, I'd like to find out about the film. Flick through. Yes, Time Out, give it 4 stars. I will track it down at Blockbuster.
Was that before Time Out did that shit 6-star thing?
Yeah. That didn't last, though, did it?
Who on earth? I'm trying to be cool giving something 6 stars, you pricks.
Oh, that's the sort of incisive commentary that
we don't get that. I've listened to a lot of podcasts lately, thinking, oh, right, I have to listen back to edit this, so someone would get quite cross with myself. And I've listened to some podcasts which are good, such as The Last Podcast on the Left, My Favourite Murder, Love and Radio,
okay,
Modern Love. These are my favourite podcasts.
I don't listen to any of these podcasts. I'll listen back to this episode so I can get those recommendations.
Yeah. What do you listen to?
I listen to a lot of American podcasts, I think. The old classics. This American Life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good one. I don't know if you've heard of Serial. It's quite small.
I did listen to it, but I got put off it.
There's a company called Gimlet Media that make a lot of interesting podcasts.
Invisibilia, I think they make. They made
one recently called DTR, which was a branded podcast with Tinder about dating in the modern age, which I found very interesting. They also made a sort of fiction podcast, like a radio play called Homecoming.
I did listen to that, yes.
I found that very interesting.
My favourite podcast of recent times, though, which my friend Beth recommended to me because she likes her podcast, guest on the show, Dirty John.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm about 4 or 5 into that.
Brilliant.
Enjoyable story.
Really good. Well, they're podcasts that will fill the void when you're not listening to Marek Makes a Movie.
Wipe away the tears. Marek Makes a Movie episode 1 already out.
It's already out there in the ether. I think I may have messed up the sound a little bit. So please turn it up and tell me what the problem is with the sound. And I will adjust it. You can email in to marekmakesamovie@gmail.com. Don't email anymore to Dear Film Fandango because we probably don't have enough time to read them out. And then you'll just feel angry and like it's a waste of your time.
Yeah, all those emails just come straight out of the computer and into a shredder.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, really, but, you know, tough love. So that's tough love for you.
Tough love. We went to cinema.
We've done it again, haven't we?
Yeah. I had two choices. The Oscar nominations have come out. Which, I mean, maybe we could talk about those.
Yeah.
What we've seen. It was nominated for an Oscar, was the Post. But also, Coco was out. And I'd seen the first 5 minutes of the Post on a sort of a copy that someone had. And I thought, this seems really worthy. And just Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep doing their Oscar
bait.
Yeah, and there's always... Like Darkest Hour, which came out last week, which is also nominated for Best Picture, which I thought was so... after thinking about it, after, you know, having that space of time to think about it, I think it's so boring.
Yeah.
And I feel like the Post feels like that. So we went to see a film called Coco, which was, as of the date we recorded, number 37 on the IMDb Top 250, probably shattering and breaking a lot of viewers' top 250s.
That's mad, isn't it? That's based on the current IMDb review score, is it? And
yes.
Ratings. Okay. So invariably that will change as more people see it.
It was currently on 8.7.
On IMDb?
Yeah, which is a very high rating. So I said to Simon, right, let's not watch The Post. Let's go and watch Coco.
Mm-hmm.
We went to cinema. It was just us and two other people.
One of them was a child.
Who did talk quite loudly.
Yeah, but you again insisted on sitting right at the back. We went over this last time. Nothing has changed. In an empty cinema.
We weren't right at the back.
We were the furthest back you could be. I could hear the fan of the projector.
But they were the sofa seats, so we could spread out.
True. And you did buy me popcorn, so I'll let it slide once again.
Yeah, and I made you lunch.
Did do that. Just had a bit of lunch. Ready for a nap now, really. If we could just get this podcast out of the way, we can all have a lovely old man nap, can't we?
Yeah, let's get this shit out of the way. Coco, what's it about, mate?
I suppose it's a story built around the South American Day of the Dead celebration, which I didn't know a lot about, but it does well to sort of educate you as to what that means.
I've seen the skulls. You've probably seen a lot of the skulls, the painted skulls, which are the sort of become maybe even outgrown the sort of Day of the Dead thing that everyone wears at Halloween. People sometimes have them on, things like that. Yeah,
girls love to have their face painted like them on their online dating profiles.
Oh, I bloody love it.
So, so it's about a family who, on the Day of the Dead, you put the pictures of all your dead relatives up and you sort of welcome them back somehow. And then there's a kid who loves music, but his family hate music because a great-great-granddad ran away to be a musician.
And left the family.
And left the family. And then there's a big old story about music and family. The message is about family first.
I think that's something we should address. So this is Pixar, but when did Disney take over Pixar?
A few years ago.
I mean, this definitely feels as though... I mean, my problem with Disney is the whole weird moral lecturing.
Right.
That is the bane of all Disney films. And the sort of saccharine sort of flavour that pervades. Is that the right word?
It can be, yeah.
every single one of their films, you just think, oh, shut up. Life isn't, life isn't like that. Whereas Pixar, so Toy Story was a bit more, although very sweet at times, had a little bit more humour to it, and Pixar were a little bit less of that sort of selling this sort of Disney idea of perfection.
Yeah, they're like an edgy Disney, which isn't saying much, but, you know, they do. They all have sort of moral compasses and lessons and stuff, but they feel a bit less, yeah, sugar-coated maybe than the Disney ones.
And I think
this one felt like the exact Venn diagram overlap of Disney and Pixar.
More in the Disney
right
section. I mean, it's quite a difficult thing to deal with. I think it's quite nice the way it talks about sort of death and your family and them living on. I really thought it was a good premise for it. But first of all, the kid. I mean, that's the thing with Woody and Buzz Lightyear. They're great. I mean, although Woody is quite plain, he's also quite neurotic as well. And Tom Hanks brings that sort of... is Tom Hanks doing his voice? It brings a character to him.
Yeah.
A great... You know, it's a great voice acting. And Buzz Lightyear is just... You've got these two great characters. I thought the main character, Miguel the boy, was just a bit... I mean, there's nothing really to him. It's quite a bland lead.
As a character, I thought the voice acting was great, but in terms of like character depth and what have you, yeah, I mean it's difficult, isn't it? Because it sort of has, it just sets up the sort of touch points and the journey, and you just kind of go, oh right, like in the first 5 minutes you kind of know what's going to happen in most of the rest of the film, I suppose. There are a couple of nice twists,
but the thing with Pixar normally is the invention,
right?
And it's like in Toy Story when all the toys are getting together on a mission and they can all do different things. From Mr. Potato sort of taking his features off so he can slide through a window crack, and the sausage dog extending so it can be used for different, and even the arm. It's just such great invention and thought that gone into it. This felt to me though it didn't have.
It looks wonderful.
That's incredible. Yeah.
I didn't laugh that much. And Pixar is usually quite good at, you know, putting in something for the dads.
I think it's one of the least funny Pixar films.
It's definitely felt like more of a Disney movie in that regard, in that you're just kind of like... Like I said to you before we started recording this on the way out of the cinema, I enjoyed the beginning, and I was like, oh, this looks like it'd be good. And then the middle just kind of was like, this is fine. And then I enjoyed the end when, you know, they started pressing all the buttons and, like, water started leaking out of my head.
Yeah.
But the middle did just feel like this is a pleasant Disney film.
It felt too modern. The kid wants to be a musician. And there's a music contest in the town. I'm sick of all this music contest as a way of, all right, what do young people like? Oh, they like these crappy music contest shows. It felt to me that if I want to watch the fucking X Factor, I'll put that on. I don't want to see a music contest in a film.
Yeah, I didn't really think about the sort of X Factor overtones, but I suppose maybe when you put it like that, the idea. But I suppose music contests have been around for ages, like a battle of the bands, as you know.
Yeah, but it just wasn't funny enough. I mean, talking about the visuals, it's incredible when you're doing animation. Obviously, the joy of it is you can do as much big budget stuff as possible, and it doesn't matter.
Mm.
But even the shading, so you'd have characters talking to other characters, and I thought, all right, so the one who's talking is in focus and the other one's not in focus. And they have to actually... That's all done because we're used to pulling focus in film and they're doing it on the animation. Yeah. They're changing the focus and making that soft. And the detail of that, I just thought... I'm seeing it as a film because my brain's going, you're pulling focus on this thing. There's no such thing as a focus puller.
But then they're made more as films now than ever. You know, when they used to... do like cell shaded animation and stuff, they have to just go like, this is the angle we're going to draw it from, and all, whereas now they just build the scene and then go, right, where do we put the camera?
Yeah,
so that's the scene just happens, and then you go have this camera move here as if it were a real thing. It's incredible.
Even with the shade of the lights, even when a character's watching TV and they've got the different light hitting their sort of their face from the television, and someone's had to paint it.
Which is another movie trope, because that isn't like real life. Like, the TV doesn't illuminate your face like that. It only happens in TV and film. But it's like we've just been programmed to understand that that is what someone on a screen looks like when they're looking at a screen.
Yeah.
It's so mad.
Incredible. Light from a TV.
Yeah. I mean, it looks beautiful. And, you know, it sounds great and blah, blah, blah. I, historically, I'm not a huge sort of animation... I'm not a fan, but I never go out of my way to watch animated films. It's only in the last few years when I've had to get caught up on the sort of Pixar back catalogue for other projects where I've needed to have seen it, that I've been like, oh, these are good, aren't they?
Secret projects.
Secret projects.
Secret projects.
Another cinema-based project, Comedian Cinema Club. They have a podcast that's still going. You can check that out, I suppose.
Comedians talking about cinema. Bloody sick, mate.
Sounds like the worst. So I hadn't watched Toy Story until about last year or the year before.
What?
Yeah. And I bought the DVD, the Blu-ray box set of all three, and then watched them all in like the space of a week.
What did you think?
I thought the first one was good, but it sort of looked dated because it is like 20 years old, and you kind of, even though I haven't watched loads of animated features, you do go, oh, well, I guess animation's really come on, hasn't it?
Since I've never even noticed that, yeah.
The first sort of feature-length computer-generated, was it? I'm not sure if it was. Anyway, it's the story's great and the performances are great, but the technology wasn't...
Yeah.
Like, it still, at the time, was amazing, but then compare that to, like, Toy Story 3 in the same week. Yeah, I thought Toy Story 3 was really, really good. I thought Toy Story 2 was okay.
Mm. Yeah, 3 is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. That was... I had a very wet face at the end of that.
Oh, great, that ending's great. Yeah,
very good ending.
Yeah, it's weird, Pixar. I understand that feeling. And you think, well, I could go and watch this at the cinema, but I know full well this will be on at Christmas Day or on a Saturday afternoon in approximately 3 years' time at least.
Yeah.
Or on Netflix. And you know you're in safe hands, but you think, why almost go to a fairground and why go on the boring safe ride? You think that's going to be fun, but not. I don't know what is that feeling about.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I feel like I don't. I feel like I don't emotionally invest as much, maybe, in animation as live action. There's a distance that isn't there. Not to say that I don't enjoy it, because I do, and it still, you know, makes me squirt juice out of my eyes. But there's just something that's... I don't think I've been to see an animated film at the cinema since I was a kid.
Mm.
So thanks for taking me.
Well, that's all right, Simon. I mean, this film was both... I read a lot of reviews of this film. It said it's going to make you cry about 3 times. I am definitely a big cinema baller, but I didn't cry at this film.
Nothing came out.
And towards the end, I felt a bit sad.
Yeah.
But I just thought, they're trying to make me cry.
Yes, they
were. There were some moments when you just got this sort of wide-eyed little girl looking to the screen. I just thought, do you know what? I know what you're trying to do here, and I don't like it.
Not going for it.
I feel like I'm being... It's a mild form of abuse.
You feel like you're being manipulated?
Yeah, abused.
Yeah.
I don't mean that's too harsh, is it, to say abused?
No. This, in the current climate, I think just bandy that term about. No one's going to take offence to that at all.
I could sue them.
Okay.
I could sue Coco for abuse.
Yeah, give it a shot. Why not?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Did it make you want to start singing and play the guitar?
Not really, no. But I think it was quite nice, a nice window into the world of South American culture.
Yes.
That was quite nice. You know, there was lots of... They clearly did the research, as they do. That was nice to learn a little bit about all the Day of the Dead stuff and the reasonings. And then when they go to the dead world, there's the spirit animals and all that sort of thing.
See, I thought that the idea to set it there and the idea of someone sort of going into some spirit world was a genuinely fascinating idea. I don't think that the story matched up to the idea. I thought it was quite a dull story.
You weren't really hooked in by it.
It was a waste, really.
Of the outstanding eye-popping visuals.
Yeah, so it must be annoying when you've been making that stuff, when you've been painting the shadow on someone's bum crack for 3 years.
Yeah.
And you watch it back and think, oh, didn't really work enough on the story here.
Should have done more on the star, Dennis. He spent 3 years painting the guys, making the TV reflect off that guy's earlobe. Should have done the story.
Prick.
Yeah.
I've sworn quite a lot this episode.
It's got very aggressive, hasn't it? I mean, who knows? The final episode is going to be carnage, isn't it?
Well, not really.
No, it'd probably be the opposite, actually, because there'll be two other normal humans involved.
Yeah, so I'll just have to be... I'll probably won't say anything.
And Danielle will be there, and you don't do podcasts with her very much these days, so you'll probably have to tone it down, if anything.
And I'll just be sort of speaking quietly in the background, a real anticlimax.
Yeah. I'd say if this one's probably the last one you should listen to if you're a true fan.
Well, so how many Simons did you give Coco?
It was out of 10.
Yeah.
I think I would know this by now.
You should really know it, mate.
I think it's just going to have to be a generous 7.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a slightly stingy 6 because it's somewhere in between. No way is a top 250 film.
No, but I think that is just by dint of it being a new release and probably getting high ratings. That will drop with time.
Well, let's hope so.
Well, you know, no offence to anyone who's rated it highly on IMDb. It's not a bad film by any stretch. But I don't think it's in the pantheon of Pixar greats.
No. Well, let's see what you think. Why not go and watch it and then write a letter to yourself. Put it in the post. Put it on second class stamp so it's going to arrive in 5 days.
Mm.
Give yourself a head injury so you forget that you sent it. And then receive a nice letter with a review of the film.
Should you write it with your left hand as well, if you're right-handed, so that you don't recognise the handwriting?
No, to give yourself a head injury instead.
That'll take that out of it.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's just a way of... I'm trying to think of ways to get around the fact this podcast won't exist and how people are going to write in.
It's tough, isn't it? Could you set up a standardised auto-reply on the Gmail account that makes them feel like they've got an actual reply? Thanks so much for your letter. We really enjoyed it. Keep watching the films and writing the letters. I really enjoyed reading your letter in particular about the thing that you wrote it about. Keep sending them in and have a nice year.
Imagine if that automated reply, so that you did set that up.
Yeah.
And people carried in writing letters, and that gradually that automated reply got more and more intelligent.
Right.
Based on
what they wrote,
people's letters and the communication they had with people. God. And so it mutated into some sort of monster.
Mm-hmm. And then it came for you.
No, we'd destroy the world.
Do you think it would go world first?
Yeah.
Probably would, actually, knowing the type of things that people write.
It would kill everyone in the world, and we would be the last, one by one, you'd be the fourth last.
It would start summarily executing people for very little, minor infractions, I would think that would be. It would, like, sneak into cinemas through the software, but then somehow it would be like Final Destination. It would just start murdering people that talked, murdering people that had their phones on.
And then it gets into people's telephones.
Yeah.
It gets into televisions.
And then just things, picks up things people say that would have riled you, and then it electrocutes them through their ears, straight through to the brain.
And gradually everyone dies, all because of your letters that you sent in.
So keep sending those letters in.
Right, I think that's time for this. This is from Gary Martindale. Subject: May I'm just a sucker. Dear Marek and his lovely friend who just sat in the dark with him for 2 hours. Being a long time listener, I've always marvelled at the objectivity you're able to employ in watching a film. I am a grown up man person with a job, a wife, a children and a pets, and I pride myself on being fairly intelligent. However, it seems I'm an absolute sucker for an emotional arc, scary jumpy moment in a horror or any other really obvious device used by directors to trick audiences into feeling. For example, It's typos. Every horror film, even when it is really obvious that the protagonist is going to look back in the mirror to see the scary baddie just behind them, my wife still finds it hilarious that I literally jump in the air and let out a shriek every single time. The reason I bring this up is that I've just watched Cox, spelt C-O-X, with my son at the cinema. I mean...
Careful now.
And spent the last 10 minutes of the film bawling my eyes out. I could see exactly how they were doing it, but wasn't able to stop myself from being emotionally plucked. My question is, are there any films that you are unable to be objective about and are just completely sucked in and taken over by? Not how to put worship down. I think the animators were wizards and they cast spells on the film to melt the hearts of all those watching. Bright eyes burning like fire. Hello, Hazel. You can come with me now. As a side note, loving the new format. Love the quiz. Love the IMDb game. I'm currently a proud 66. And love it when you have friends and guests on, like Tom Tuck and Izzy Roper. You're not mentioned there.
Unbelievable. You
clearly love the podcast as much as I do. Keep watching the films, Gary. Oh, sorry, we're finishing, Gary.
And you haven't done the quiz or the IMDb thing for ages. I'm not Lizzie Roper or Tom Tuck.
Well, he'll now be on 37 because of Coco. People be watching that avidly.
True, actually. I mean, that does feed in quite neatly to what you were saying about being abused by Coco, in that you knew exactly what they were doing, but you stood up to your abuser and said, no, no more, whereas I was sneakily wiping tears off my head, even though I knew what was happening. I had to remind myself to breathe.
I normally cry. When I start crying, then I really
go. You just go.
But I don't really cry as much animations.
Yes, okay.
So I said to you before, like, the Monster Calls, a really awful experience. But brilliant. I mean, one of my favourite films of the year, but I found it really emotionally traumatising. Okay. Films that always make me cry.
The Karate Kid's mine. Yeah, that end scene at the tournament where they're all the Cobra Kai furious. Daniel Russo there, and then he just gets into the crane stance.
What does the music go like?
It goes, it's like he's ba 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 fight, and then he crane kicks him ba 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 ba.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
I can see why it makes you cry.
Really great film, though, all told, that one.
What did I cry at? The Impossible made me cry. Strings. Now I know when they start playing Strings, I know they're trying to make me cry, and I get annoyed about it. It's the same thing with the horror films. Which Gary's talked about, the mirror thing. And I was saying to you earlier, well, basically, to re-record this bit because the batteries ran out.
Spoilers!
Just after the Karate Kid thing. But I was saying, which got misrecorded, which didn't get recorded, was that I'm so used to the back of the mirror thing, and now I'm used to the moment after the back of the mirror thing where they open the cupboard door, they know you're going to think it's in the mirror there, it's not in the mirror, and the monster is shortly afterwards. So I'm waiting for the second beat of the shortly afterwards monster.
Right, where it's back in the... They go, I forgot something, and then they close the mirror and it is there the second time.
No. It's always... open a cupboard. I mean, no one ever opens a cupboard except in a horror film like that.
Right.
In some reason, every single horror film...
Are you thinking when the cupboard... like opens and fills the frame,
yeah,
and then they close it. And there's someone there, or you think of the medicine cabinet.
It's either the cupboard or medicine cabinet.
They close it on the mirror, and then there's someone.
I mean, I like to see a film that wasn't a horror film,
yeah,
where they use the medicine, open the medicine cabinet.
Yeah, I actually watched a pseudo horror film this week.
A what horror film
called Happy Death Day?
Yeah,
which is sort of it's not that horror really, but it's more of it's Groundhog Day meets a slasher film.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a couple of moments in that were, you know, horror tropes set. You were like, there's something going to happen. And it still makes me sort of curl up on the sofa, like, come on. You want to sort of look away, but you can't. I suppose that is me describing the entire genre of horror.
It'd be like this. You want to turn it off, but you can't.
You can't
because you're jogging.
Yeah.
Is it one of those podcasts you start and you think, oh no, I can't because I'm driving a car now.
Yeah.
I've got to listen to these two pricks.
And if you don't listen to the end, you'll never find out the secret announcement we have. See what I did?
Oh yeah, makeup announcement at the end. It's not really there.
Teased him. Teased him with an announcement.
Here's that. Do you want to read it out? Or, I mean, you started reading it out before it got cut out. So try and read this out with the same... You got to almost halfway through. Try and read it out with the same enthusiasm as the first time.
I was very enthusiastic, but it had a great surprise in it, which I'll announce when we get there. For me, anyway. Hi, Marek. I wrote to you from Barcelona a while ago because I'd finally watched all of the IMDb Top 250. Sad to say that having checked the list today, my current score is a paltry 37 because I haven't seen Coco. 8.3.
Ooh,
guess
that...
what? Two people in this room have seen it.
And now it's 8.7.
Well, not once we give it our 6 and 7. That's going to tug it
down. Take it down, yeah.
Probably 8.2. Nonetheless, back to the letter. I wish I could say, fuck Coco, loud and proud. But given the Spanish/Mexican heart of the film, I'd really like to see it. But fuck Coco anyway for having ruined my score. I'm really writing to give you a short review of two films that feature the same actor that are both awesome and shit by turns. The actor is Gary Daniels. This is the bit where I got excited.
Yeah, you were excited, yeah.
Because I know Gary Daniels very well, big fan of his oeuvre, and the whole, we'll get into it. Who was born in Woking, Surrey. Despite being born in a place that is soft as shit, Daniels has carved out a name for himself as the Jason Statham with hair of B-movie martial arts films. The top? Cold Harvest, 1999. A neo-western tripe fest set in a below-par laser quest landscape. This savage actioner is saved by Daniels' high-kicking hijinks as he plays both halves of a set of doomed identical twins with a frankly undeserved amount of pathos. It is hilarious. Look for the moment when he is watching the wife of his dead twin undress in a mirror while he unrepentantly rubs a gun like it's his dick. The Knot, everything else that he has ever been in. What other actors can you think of have been by turns both great and awful? Keep watching the films. Al Fisher there. Well, Al, I don't know if you knew this, but I am a huge fan of B-movie martial arts films. So me and Gary Daniels go way back. The Fist of the North Star live-action film. He's in Jackie Chan's City Hunter. He's in a lot of quite alright films from the late 90s and 2000s. And if you're looking for a replacement Gary Daniels, guys, look no further than Scott Adkins, who is another excellent martial artist, currently taking the B-movie action film market by storm. He also does pop up occasionally in bigger budget films. We all just want him to get a good script because he deserves it. If you'd like to hear me talk about this sort of thing ad infinitum, there's a Comedian Cinema Club podcast one-on-one where me and Matt Hyten talk about films, and he opens this can of worms that is me talking about martial arts movies / Hong Kong martial arts movies / B movies for about half an hour.
Comedian Cinema Club. Is it better than this?
I mean, if you want to hear me talk about those films, yes, because I won't bore you with it. If you want to hear the witterings of the lunatic Marek Larwood, no, he does not feature, sadly. Great letter, though, Al. And I'm always glad to find another fan of the B-movie martial arts films. A lot of them on Netflix.
Who is good in something and shit in other things?
Crikey. Well,
I think Nicole Kidman always is the classic for me because she always, I mentioned this before, she always looks like she's trying to win awards.
Okay. My first thought was someone like Tom Cruise. Someone who's like a big marquee name but isn't like an actor-y actor. Because it's very rare you're going to be like Philip Seymour Hoffman. He's amazing, but he's not shit, is he? He's not really, you can't think of something he's shit in.
Well, he's dead now, so he can't really do anything shit.
Whereas Tom Cruise, I suppose, Tom Cruise is usually good in, he's been good in bad films, I suppose. Can't think of anyone off the top of my head. Oh, what about like Vince Vaughn? Someone like that.
That's a very good one. I mean, early Vince Vaughn is like, oh, he's quite good in this thing. But then later on, well, even Hacksaw Ridge or something, he sort of plays a lesser sort of a rip-off of the character from, not Hamburger Hill, but the other one. Or the famous, not Platoon, the other one.
Casualties of War, Apocalypse Now.
No, the other when a guy shoots himself in the
Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah, Matthew Modine.
Okay,
the bloke who plays the camp leader in that, who's also in Spider-Man later on, I think.
Right,
and Vince Vaughn does a terrible version of him, I think.
Oh, that's a shame. We talked about him last time, didn't we? I think I was talking about Brawl in.
Oh, you thought it was good, yeah. Right,
he's very good in that.
Well, good luck, Vince. Here's a letter from Darren Rogers, subject Jim Carrey. Hi, Marek and Simon, one in three chance.
Yay! That's finally nice, name checking isn't it? A letter.
Wow, you're almost part of the furniture just as we're moving house.
Shut it down.
I read a report last week that a people were asked for their favourite Jim Carrey film and Bruce Almighty won.
What?
I find this amazing. I wouldn't even put it in my top three. Man on the Moon, Eternal Sunshine, number 23. Yes, I'm leaving out The Truman Show, but that would be the fourth one. I know you covered him recently, but what would be your top three? Keep being near the knuckle, Marek. Darren.
Crikey. Well, you've gone for all serious Jim Carrey in there, which is interesting.
Well, he's gone for those, yeah, yeah. He hasn't gone for...
I would have thought most people...
Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, put like Dumb and Dumber or like Ace Ventura or something.
I've only seen Dumb and Dumber once about 20 years ago, really? So I need to watch that again.
That is a film that I remember laughing uncontrollably in the cinema when I saw it. And I can't think of anything that's since then. I really go to see comedies in the cinema these days. That's probably one reason.
I never found Jim Carrey, comedy Jim Carrey, remotely funny.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Presumably, nor did Darren, or at least not as good a comedic actor as a serious actor. I think the number 23 is an odd pick, because I think that's fine, but it's not great, is it?
Yeah, there wouldn't be. I mean, I think Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
I think Eternal Sunshine is great. And
Truman Show.
I would like to re-watch The Truman Show, actually. Because having watched that, the Man on the Moon documentary, put me in mind of Jim Carrey a lot. And I thought, it's been a very long time since I saw the old Truman Show.
I think that's a great film. The soundtrack is Philip Glass soundtrack.
Yeah,
is amazing.
I'd be inclined to at least put one of his comedy ones up there, Dumb and Dumber or probably Ace Ventura.
Yeah,
even Liar Liar's very enjoyable.
See, I quite like Liar Liar.
For then, I don't know if I watched it now if I would love it as much, but at the time I certainly did.
I don't think I've seen Bruce Almighty.
Bruce Almighty is okay. It's got
6.7 on IMDb.
It's very odd that people would rate it that highly. But then maybe it straddles early Jim Carrey and later Jim Carrey enough.
Yeah.
That just numbers-wise it gets them in. People that watch Bruce Almighty might never have seen Ace Ventura.
Well, why not? Well, you can't write in.
No.
Don't know what
I would. I would say for a top three, pop Eternal Sunshine in there and maybe... Oh, dear. What was that one? What's the one where he goes off to war and he comes back and no one remembers him? I don't think I've seen that.
Mr. Popper's Penguins.
That's it. Yeah. He comes back and he's just surrounded by penguins and everyone's like, what's up with all the penguins? And then he goes, alrighty then. And then it turns out the whole thing, he was in a dream. They'd erased his memory.
It's all a dream, mate.
Oh, no.
Let's have a... Oh, this is a letter from Matthew. Bye. Thank you both and guests for the work you've put in over the last 6 and 3 years. I'm not even a particularly big film fan, but look forward to your podcast every week and enjoy the chatter. All the best for the future, Matt. Thank you, Matt.
It's nice.
Elizabeth Ayres has written in to say thank you as well. There's been lots of nice messages on our Facebook page. Who else has written in? Quite a few people have written in. Thank you very much for all your letters saying sorry we're stopping the podcast. I do feel quite bad about it in retrospect. but we've enjoyed reading all your messages and they've made us feel happy and like we're much better people than we are.
Just validated as humans and creators of art of some description.
Yeah.
It's like what we were talking about earlier off air. Just, you know, if you produce something, it makes you feel good. I suppose that's why we do this bullshit.
Well, for six and 3 years we've been doing it, I mean, it's really showed a sign that before then, I would have been too busy. But the fact that I could make a podcast every week is a sad reflection.
Also, to stick with something for that long, I can't think of anything I've done for 6 years or anyone.
Six and a third years. Well, 5 and a third years, really.
Oh. For you.
It's great watching films, isn't it?
Love. I'd be watching films anyway, even if I wasn't round your house having a cup of tea and doing a podcast. I wouldn't have watched Coco, I will say that. So that's, you've opened my eyes.
Maybe that was a mistake, but I think the lesson we've learned from that and the IMDb score is that the whole world's full of lies.
I think that's, if there's like a takeaway Disney message from this podcast for the 6 years, it's the whole world is full of lies.
Remember that.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, we can finish on that.
I don't think we should. It's not the last one, but this is my last one. So
Well, thank you very much for being... I don't know how many you've done, about 10 or 12 or something, should
I
think?
I wouldn't have thought that many. Single figures, easy.
Oh, okay.
Two or three round at reads, and then probably three or four here.
Yeah.
Lovely. Good. Thanks for having me. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Why not subscribe to us on YouTube? We've both tried to make our YouTube channels work and failed.
Well, actually, I would love for people to watch the short film.
Oh, of course, yes. Can you tell us about that then?
Quite a large portion of last year trying to get finished. Just very briefly, you can find it on my website, I suppose, or basically all of my social media, simonfield.com. It's a short film called Renaissance, or Renaissance, depending on where in the world you are or just how you talk.
Yeah.
It's a fun little sort of mockumentary comedy short. I don't really want to say much about it. If you've got 6 minutes to spare, which I hope you would, please watch it. Maybe on a screen bigger than your phone. That's all.
And you can go to Vimeo and just type in Renaissance, can you?
Yeah, you could do that. But if you just go to any of my socials on my website, there are just links to it and it's embedded there.
SimonFielder.com. E before I.
E before I. I before E, except after me.
Pretty cool.
Lovely stuff. Thanks, guys. That's all my plugs. Thanks. I made a tiny film. Marek's going to make a big one. Subscribe to his new podcast.
Well done, everyone. Hey, and remember,
keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.